right, so you want to talk about the Holy Spirit and calling as promised this morning? Acts chapter 21 is where we'll begin, and we'll begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 21 on page 988. Page 988. What we're going to read here is Paul hearing from other disciples that the Holy Spirit has, hearing through the Holy Spirit from other disciples, that it's going to be rough in Jerusalem, and he goes anyway. But before I begin on our passage, not you're there with me on page 988 in Acts chapter 21, just a quick word I wanted to share with you guys about being gone so much, and that is, I am so glad to be back. It's just a joy this morning to worship God with you, and then tonight to worship God with you. I don't like being gone that much. It's too much, and it's just... I'd like to be in a spot where I didn't have to go on both trips, but I needed to go on both of those mission trips, and they needed to be those times because of the missionaries we were going to work with. And so it was what it was. There was great fruit from them. We did great work on those trips, but I'd much rather be here, and I'm in fact very glad to be here and be back with you guys, so it's good to see you all. That said, if you'll suffer me once more, we've got family vacation this next week, so I'll miss one more. Yeah, just this time on the beach, not a mission trip, not working, actually vacationing this time. I'll make a point to share the gospel with somebody, but this is not a mission trip. This one's just rest and family vacation time this next week. And I know it's a burden, having been gone so much already, on you to go, but it's a blessing on our family to get to. And so thank you for being patient and gracious and carrying that with us and for us. And so it's just a delight to serve you and to worship with you. So. All right, the question for us tonight here in Acts chapter 21 is, does Paul disobey the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul here, of course, being a human, had sinned, was an awful sinner. We have a record of that most certainly here in Acts in his own confession about his sin. But does he hear? As he's traveling, we read this morning in chapter 21, he leaves the Ephesian church and he continues on down the coast towards Jerusalem, and he's set to do this. But now, as we're going to see here in chapter 21, several times along the way, even as he said in chapter 20, people are going to tell him in the Spirit, this passage says, that's an important phrase, in the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul says, knock it off, I'm going to Jerusalem. And so, does Paul do what's right or wrong? But more important for us, we'll answer that question with certainty. More important for us, how do we know what the Holy Spirit's calling us to do? How do we listen to the Spirit? If you think the Holy Spirit's calling you to something and you're wrong, who's going to be able to tell you that you're wrong? How do we discern out how the Holy Spirit is guiding us individually and guiding us as a church? The good news for us, like usual, is the Holy Spirit is very clear about this. Scripture is also very clear about this for us tonight. So I'm going to pray and let's read this and then let's talk about it. Does Paul disobey? And I'm actually going to ask you, okay, so this will be an interactive evening sermon here. Does Paul disobey the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you again that you have given us your word, the word of grace. And I pray now that you would teach us. It is such a joy to us to have your Holy Spirit on our lives. But teach us now so that we can be guided all the better by the Spirit, so that we can understand, so that we can know, so that we can serve and worship you better. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Chapter 21 of Acts, verse 1. Now after we tore ourselves away from them, we set sail straight for Kos, the next day to Rhodes, and from there Patara. Finding a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we boarded and set sail. After we sighted Cyprus, passing to the south of it, we sailed out to Syria, and we arrived at Tyre, since the ship was to unload its cargo there. And we sought out the disciples, and we stayed there 7 days. Through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our time had come to the end, we left to continue our journey, while all of them with their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And after kneeling down on the beach to pray, we said farewell to one another and boarded the ship, and they returned home. When we completed our voyage from Tyre, we reached Ptolemais. We were greeted by the brothers and sisters, and we stayed with them for a day. The next day we left and came to Caesarea, where we entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. This man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. After we had been there for several days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came to us, took Paul's belt, and tied his own hands and feet, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him over to the Gentiles." And when we heard this, both we and the local people pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul replied, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he would not be persuaded, we said no more, except the Lord's will be done. This is our passage for tonight. Paul's traveling around by various modes of transportation. You see here, like elsewhere in Acts, the "we" of travel. He says, after we tore ourselves away. That's because Luke is the one writing this down. Luke said back in chapter 1, "I'm going to tell you about all this that happened." And at this point, Luke is traveling along with Paul. And they're going all these places, stop after stop, changing modes of transportation, which is real familiar to me. That was my yesterday. It was a bunch of different modes of transportation in order to get where you're going. And they eventually show up at long last down through Ptolemais and further on down the way. And they're running into brothers and sisters in Christ the whole way. And they're hearing the whole way along from the Spirit, through prophets and the Spirit, "Don't go to Jerusalem. It's going to be bad." From Agabus, "You're going to be bound, even more specifically, and hand it over to the Gentiles," which is a little more scary, because the Gentiles have even more teeth to them, so to speak. And so Paul goes anyway. So tell me, let's have a quick talk here. Just venture out if you'd like to. It's okay if you don't. Does Paul disobey the Holy Spirit here? What's your take on this? What's going on? Give me a shot. Yeah, it's a lot easier, this responsive thing, if it's not a doctrinal question. If it's a, like, do you like, you know, Pop-Tarts or toaster strudels? Because then you can't be wrong either way. But there is actually a wrong answer here and a right answer. And so it is a boldness to speak up. It's totally okay not to. Well, let's try a few. Go ahead, Karen. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Paul feels led by the Spirit. They're saying it's going to be rough. What do you got, Charlotte?
In the previous chapter, Paul had personally had an interaction with the Holy Spirit that told him that no matter where he went, there was going to be affliction. Whether he went to Jerusalem or anywhere else, the Spirit had always told him.
That's right. We preached on this morning in chapter 20, verse 22 there. On the same page in the Pew Bible, you may have to flip from your own Bible. But chapter 20, verse 22, Paul says, "Now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I'll encounter there, except in every town the Spirit warns me of the chains and afflictions that are waiting for me." There's Paul's word about it, and that's an important piece here, is to not read this chapter without reading the other ones around it, because there's been something going on here for the entire ministry of Paul from the very beginning of it. All right, what else you got? Go ahead, Al. Right, Al says Paul is still guided by previous revelation, by previous calling of the Holy Spirit. And so even though it's getting scarier, he's still doing what he's supposed to. Go ahead, Billy Joe. Yep. That's right. Paul has been guided by Christ as well. There's absolutely the guiding of the Spirit so far. There's a pattern, and if he is disobeying the Spirit, that would absolutely be breaking the pattern. He's been going along the whole time. Who else we got? Go ahead, Chris.
Just like Christ went to the cross, when to Jerusalem,
insistent that he could be going where there is danger.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not inconsistent to be called to go to where there's danger. And furthermore, you'll recall something similar happened to Jesus, where Jesus is bent on going to Jerusalem, knowing what is going to happen. And Peter's saying things like, "Nah, we're not going to let that happen." And Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Yeah. there's that sort of thing. Daniel, go ahead. Oh, okay. Anybody else? Want to chime in? All right. Go ahead, Joan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're all agreeing on this, which is great. As soon as I asked, I was like, sure, if somebody doesn't say, he's absolutely disobedient. And, I didn't mean to put you on shake, guys. Yes, that seems what's clear here. Well, on the surface, you have, especially like verse 4, that's awfully powerful there. Through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You've got it even clearer from Agabus down there in verse 11. He takes Paul's belt as a prophet doing prophetic things, which is, you know, a good prophetic symbol or sermon illustration now. But, you know, really, really preaches. It really teaches. And so Agabus takes his belt, Paul's belt, ties himself up and says, person whose belt this is, they're going to be tied up and bound just like this and handed over to the Gentiles. And is Agabus wrong? No, he's not. That's exactly what happens. We're not to assume that Paul is wrong in following the call of the Spirit. We're not to assume these ones are wrong either. The Spirit, Holy Spirit is speaking to all of them. It's just Paul is getting from back in the last chapter when he says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit. I don't know what I'm going to encounter there. He's finding out more and more specifically what he's going to encounter there. You get more and more specifically along the way. And so another question then, so if what's happening is as he's running into these other disciples and they are honestly and truthfully from the Holy Spirit prophesying and saying, you know, it's going to be really bad, you need to not go there, are they wrong to say to Paul, please don't go? Are they wrong to try and compel Paul not to go? Could be. I'd say, and it's not wrong either. They're not, so the word that they seem to be receiving is not, Paul, you're bound to go there by the Holy Spirit. The word they're getting is, it's going to be bad if you go there. So please don't go because we love you. And we don't want you to see that. When Paul's saying, oh, you guys are right. I agree with you. But I got to go. And so what's the final word on it from the congregation? Very last verse. Since he would not be persuaded, we said no more except the Lord's will be done. That is their saying, agreeing with Paul, you're right. Okay. This is what God's calling you to do, and the Lord's will be done. And so it's tearful, and it's true. But you guys have this. You got it correct. God bless you all. That's what's happening, is the Holy Spirit is clearly compelling and guiding Paul, and he was doing this from the very beginning. Forget when Paul is first called, this miraculous conversion that he has where the heavens open up and he sees God, and he falls off his horse, and then he's blinded, and God says then to the disciple, who is Ananias, who's going to go and kind of semi-restore his vision, Paul does not yet know what all he's going to suffer for my name. And there it is. We're slowly finding out together as we read through Acts all that Paul was going to suffer for the name of Christ. This is not wrong. This is exactly how it is supposed to work. So since we've established that, let's talk about together what it means for us that this is how the Holy Spirit guides. First of all, you are to, given these chapters here, you ought to expect the Holy Spirit to guide you. You ought to expect this. You ought not be surprised by this, that God has a will for your life. There have been plenty of Christians who have said, you know, what you really need to focus on is the moral will of God for your life. That is, you know, not lying, not stealing, staying faithful to your spouse. Focus on the actual written down, what we're all certain of, the moral will of God for your life, and not so much the personal will of God for your life, like which direction to go. Because the moral will, what's written in Scripture, is what we know. It's given to us, and that's a little more fuzzy, and so don't worry about that as much. What's the problem here? The idea that they're separating out the wills of God like there's more than one of them. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's calling you, then that is also the moral will of God. It's the same thing. And after all, we are to expect that the Holy Spirit is guiding us forward. That's what we are to expect. So first of all, expect that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. This doesn't mean necessarily, you know, what to have for breakfast. We have, for our parts, offered our entire lives over to God and said, lead me, where am I going? And so we are to be diligently listening at all times for the guidance of the Spirit so that we can obey. One concrete example of this from my life, some people feel like God is guiding them, the Holy Spirit is guiding them very specifically, very regularly, right? And I don't want to diminish that at all, because God bless them. I might say that there are certain, although I feel led by the Spirit frequently to do things, I don't feel like it happens to me quite as often as it happens to some other people, and that's okay. And so this may be the case for you, but one example where I was absolutely the Holy Spirit was leading us somewhere, though it seemed unusual and it was quite unexpected, was when the Holy Spirit was leading me and my family here to Talitha. I'd never considered, you know, leaving the old Republic, leaving Texas. I just wanted to pastor an old church. I didn't think that that meant essentially that I was going to be going to a place where there are old churches, churches older than the country of Texas. Back when Texas was Mexico, we say this church was started coming up on 200 years ago. And so the Holy Spirit led us out here. And it was unusual. I'd never set foot in the state of South Carolina before. My dear sweet wife has a dear sweet family, and we had no intention of being away from family. Some of you who get to live around very close to family understand this. It's great to get to do it. It's a blessing, especially if they're all good believers and love each other, then it's great. But from the moment we set foot in the state, it was abundantly clear to us and everyone else in our family, and apparently to the church, that this is what God was calling. There was never a question. It was just surprising. I wasn't expecting that. I would have never known. But it was very clear from the very first moment. We go, oh, this is where God's leading us. If you haven't been around longer, there's a sub-story in there that's interesting because the search committee then calls back and says, we're not going to pursue you any longer, Jordan. We're going with another candidate. I was like, I could have sworn the Holy Spirit was calling us this way. But he was, in fact, and we all arrived here together at some point. But there's another piece of that story, and it's a good piece of that story. The Holy Spirit led us here, and it was very clear, and there's never been a moment when I or anyone else has doubted that. And my family here at the congregation, we all know that God was leading, and so that's how it works. Expect the Holy Spirit to guide you, first of all. Second, expect the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be in regards to His priorities and not your own. Okay? It is possible, and I worry that some people look for the Spirit to guide them amongst issues that are entirely their own priorities and are not the Spirit's priority, aren't God's priorities in their life, if that makes sense. For example, what sort of things do people usually talk about when they feel like the Spirit was guiding to them to something? A lot of times it will be talking about which spouse to marry. That's good and right. One would like a good word from God that this is the person I ought to marry. Other things include, you know, job and career decisions, movement, moving across country and such, a house, which car to purchase or to purchase one, kids, and things like this. And all these are right. A good, honest Christian ought to want the Holy Spirit, God's guidance in these big life-changing decisions. But if that list alone is taken, it can look a little self. They're all decisions about me. It's all, you know, what's best for me, what works out for me. And so if that's all of it, then perhaps we're missing the more important part, that the Holy Spirit is guiding us on mission. He's guiding us according to His purposes, and He's already declared what His purposes are. That is, the salvation of the nations. That is, gathering together a family from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And so if we're always exclusively looking for the Holy Spirit's guidance on personal issues that aren't related to the sorts of things that the Holy Spirit is actually working on in the world, the salvation of people, then we may have missed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Expect His guidance to be in regards to His priorities, not necessarily to ours. Of course, a caveat here. The Holy Spirit, another time I can give you a great example of the Holy Spirit's leadership is on who to marry. I was led clearly by the Holy Spirit, and it's been a great blessing on my life. And he does lead us on these things, and it's good and right to ask God, what ought I to do regarding my career, the job? Should I buy this big purchase? Should I not? What would you like? No, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance on these things too, but take a moment also while you are and pause and say, are the sorts of things that I'm looking for or guidance according to this mission, evangelical priority of God, or am I sliding into an old nature, me-centered sort of attitude about things? Simply take a moment to take inventory. It might be like a child asking their parent which piece of candy to have, and the parent is saying, go to bed. You know, like your priority has nothing to do with mine. And that's a real life example from my house. Which kind of bedtime snack? Just get in bed. Let us make sure that our priorities are God's priorities. And next, what if we don't hear from him? What if you say you're one of those people who I don't necessarily hear the Holy Spirit's daily guidance? It's not as normal. It happens maybe once a year. It happens at large junctions and turns in my life where I called to God and I knew he led me in this direction. So I know that the Holy Spirit's guiding. But man, some people are guided by the Holy Spirit like every minute. And I'm over here just trying to do the best I can. So what if we're not hearing from the Holy Spirit on some particular issue? Well, the good news is, we have heard from him on what we ought to be doing. And that gets us back to the Word of God here, given to us by the Spirit that we understand by the help of the Spirit. It's not to say that he's far away. It's to say we already have the game plan, the mission, the thing that we're supposed to be doing. So stay at work while prayerfully asking, lead me clearly, Father. This is a good prayer that you'll get a lot of mileage out of. Father, if you would just lead us clearly, we'll go anywhere, we'll do whatever direction, but if you would just make it real clear to all of us, that would be great. So no confusion, and we'll do what you'd like. In the meantime, we will continue to do the ministry that you've left for us to do. This is clear in Paul's life as well. Paul had a calling. He was to be a minister to the Gentiles. He wasn't going to slow down, even if he hadn't had a specific word from the Lord. And that's what Billy Joe brought up, this Macedonia experience, where, you know, he's going about carrying on exactly what God called him to do, and the Holy Spirit, God himself, Christ appears, seems, and changes his plans. Says, nope, here's what we're doing. And Paul goes, okay, absolutely. I was just going to keep going until you called me otherwise, and now we'll keep going that direction. We don't want to simply be inactive and unfruitful because we're not sure if the Spirit's calling us one way or another on a certain issue, whether it's a mission trip or participating in, you know, VBS or any kind of ministry activity you could do. And even if you were calling and say, God, is this something you want me to do? If the answer that you get is, you know, I don't know, I didn't feel like I got a good answer, well, then the answer is your calling is to be fruitful. So go about being as fruitful as you can. And where you see the Holy Spirit at work, go hop in, jump in and be a part of what he is doing. The next thing that we see here from this passage is this. We are to expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us through each other and through others. This is normal in this chapter. It happened several times, right? Paul has a word from God. He's supposed to be doing something. And then the Spirit's not conflicting. The Spirit's just giving him clarity on how exactly that's going to go. And all these friends of his are saying, we don't want you to do it. But Paul's saying, no, you don't understand. God's called me to do it. But you're right. I am going to suffer. Expect the Holy Spirit to speak through others. We're in this together for this purpose. That God speaks to each of us and God speaks to all of us, and we all have blind spots that we simply need each other. There comes a time in every person's life when you're certain that you're right and you're not. We Christians simply have to be those people who will listen to the Christians around us above ourselves. There has to be a time when I say, I know this is the best thing for this church. And then deacons or whoever else is saying, we love you, buddy, but that's not what's best. I have to be a person who says, okay, if you're unconvinced, then we'll take it your way. We have to be the kind of people who will listen to others because the Holy Spirit speaks through them. What ought you to do? Listen to your fellow congregation members. That's another thing that's important here and illustrative. Who all speaks to Paul in the Spirit here? Yeah, there's a prophet named Agabus who's never named another time in this. Okay, great. Nobody's heard from him before that or after that. Nobody names their children today Agabus, but there's that guy. He's in there. He's a prophet. There's Philip. He goes to stay at Philip's house, and Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch story, that Philip. But there's also just these unnamed brothers and sisters in the church. That is to say, verse 4, we sought out the disciples and we stayed there 7 days. This is in Tyre. Through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Who's that? Well, the disciples, brothers and sisters. It doesn't necessarily mean pastors, prophets. You know, it's not other apostles. Paul is listening to the brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's not to say that you need to go find a pastor or a deacon in order to tell you what the Holy Spirit wants for your life. You are to talk to each other as well. Listen to the brothers and sisters, because we're in this together. On that, while we expect the Holy Spirit to speak through others, we need to recognize our own fallibility. Sometimes we get it wrong. This answers the question, what do you do if you're like, man, I could have sworn the Holy Spirit was calling me to that, but it didn't happen at all, or it didn't work out at all. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit was weak or failed or called wrong. It means we're wrong sometimes. We're the ones who are fallible. We're the ones who make mistakes and get it wrong sometimes. So recognize for yourself that we get it wrong sometimes. Another that we take from this passage about guidance by the Holy Spirit is this. Don't mistake hardship for not calling. It's an awkward way to put that. Somebody else, arrange those words and make them sound better for me. Don't mistake difficulty as a sign that the Holy Spirit is not calling you to do something. Because as we see here, and as we see frequently, the calling of God requires some difficulties. It goes through suffering. And Paul already knew that. Paul's saying, his word to them is this. What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. Guys, I know all of this. I now know it more specifically, but I already knew that. And Paul says, it's nothing to me. I'm ready to go for the name of the Lord Jesus. He's ready to go because the Holy Spirit's already called him to this from his very first calling and affirmed it all along the way. And so Paul's response is, what are you doing, guys? Don't break my heart. Why are you all weeping? This is what we've got to do. This is what's right. Don't mistake the fact that things are difficult in the calling of God, that God is not calling you to do something. Just because something is going to require a little bit of pain, is going to hurt a little bit, is going to cause some difficulties, is going to bring about some stress, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. We're not looking for our best life now. We're looking for eternity with Christ. Always, there is something between here and there. The test, challenges, sufferings of this world, sufferings of life, sufferings because of the name of Jesus Christ. But we will have our inheritance, our eternal life with Jesus Christ when He returns. So don't consider it terrible or an impediment that is not overcomable, or even more so, don't consider it that, oh, well, it was hard. I guess that's not what God's calling us to do. I thought He was calling me to do that, but we ran into a roadblock, so we stopped and went a different direction. Let us not be those ones. There might be hardship on the calling of God, so don't mistake hardship for God's not calling you to that. Rather, I think from this passage and all these things we've said, that we respect the Holy Spirit's guidance is regarding His priorities and not ours. If you're not hearing from Him, that doesn't mean be inactive. Continue on following after what He's commanded you to do. You are to expect the Holy Spirit to speak through others. You are to recognize your own fallibility and not mistake hardship for His not calling you. But understand that in all ways, in Paul's life here throughout Acts, in our lives and all of them, guidance by the Holy Spirit always takes on a very specific set of forms. The Holy Spirit is guiding you towards faith in Jesus Christ. This is true even before you become a believer. The Holy Spirit is guiding you towards faith. And now as a believer, that you have the Holy Spirit poured out in your life, the Holy Spirit is guiding you all the more towards faith, but the Holy Spirit is guiding you also towards obedience. If you're wondering how the Holy Spirit is guiding you, He is guiding you towards better obedience of God's word. The Holy Spirit is always guiding us towards witness. So He said, God has a purpose and He's declared it in this season. The disciples, before Christ goes to ascends into heaven, the disciples say, all right, when are you going to restore Jerusalem? And Jesus says, that's not for you to know, which is to say, essentially, it'll happen, but just hold tight a second. Here's what we're doing now. Here's the plan and purpose of God. They kind of had a thought for what they wanted to happen next, and Jesus says, not quite. Here's what's going to happen next. Now you're all going to be witnesses, and you're going to go and tell everybody what just happened. I'm going to ascend into heaven. I will return. And at that time, we will have everything restored and everything made right. So the Holy Spirit is guiding us, just like those apostles and those early disciples, towards witness. And finally, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is always towards the edification of the church. That is, lifting each other up and encouraging each other towards obedience to Christ, towards witness, towards love. So these four things, it seems to me, is the form that the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us towards faith. He guides us towards obedience. He guides us towards witness, and the Holy Spirit is most certainly guiding you towards the edification, the encouragement, the lifting up of the rest of the congregation, so that we all together can be lifted up by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the will of God the Father, and for the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, it is our delight for you to have poured out your Holy Spirit on us. It is our joy to not be left alone, but to be guided clearly, completely, regularly. Father God, I pray that you would guide us all clearly. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be clear in guiding our lives, our families, and our church all together. And then moreover, I pray that you'd give us boldness to obey however you call us. We are here now resolved to follow you wherever you lead. So make it clear and we're on the way, just like Paul. Thank you for putting us together. I thank you for speaking to each of us through each other. And I thank you for encouraging us to hope in the return of Christ. Jesus Christ, come soon. This I pray in your name. Amen.